Jackson gave me the news of a planet far away. And Colonel O'Neill will assemble a team that will try to save the day. Dr. Sam has a master plan and a science attitude. And the Jaffa Tube, he's part of the deal with his trusty Goa'uld. It's just a regular day, it's Stargate Command, and it might be hard to understand.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm trying to plug my headphones in.
Happy New Year, everyone.
We could say that.
It is our first episode in 2024.
You guys, we're entering our third year. This will be our third year.
Yep. Oh, we're like in our toddler age.
2021.
I sent it to you, but I got the reminder through Facebook today that I did my first Stargate related TikTok post, which was honestly one of my first posts. I think there were like two before then. I was just a lurker. I just watched and I didn't post.
Yeah.
And I did the not the me saying it, but the actual voiceover, you know, lip sync of the Stuck on a Glacier with MacGyver.
Mm-hmm. So good.
And that's what all of this happened because of that for me. Yes. So
hooray. Hooray. Well, we should probably introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm your co-fry, Sarah.
I'm your co-fry, Christina.
And I'm your co-fry, Rebecca.
And before we get into our episode discussion, we have a couple announcements for the fry box.
Mm-hmm.
Short, because we're three fries short.
And here we are.
All right, Rebecca, you wanna take the lead on this?
Sure. So if anybody doesn't know, and it's been a while since we said we were doing it, and honestly, it's been a little while since the companion's been talking about it, which is going to change starting tomorrow. But on January 27th, that is a Saturday, we are having Amanda Tapping, Embracing Mental Health as a Fandom, Part 3. And not only am I hosting it, but all three of us are hosting it.
Yay!
And I can't wait for it because I just think it creates such a better conversation when it's just more than two. It feels more like a conversation when it's more than two people. When it's two people, it definitely feels just like I'm Larry King interviewing somebody. You know, like that's the vibe that I get when it's just two people. And so I'm very excited that we're all going to be there. Yeah, it is an event on the companion that is a member only event. That doesn't mean if you're not a member, you can't come. You definitely can. You can pay $20 for a live stream ticket, which the proceeds of that event are going to go to mental health organizations. There are three that we use. We use NAMI in the US. We use Kids Help Phone in Canada and Mind in the UK. That's where all of our donations are going to. But otherwise, I'm saying this a day early because the companion's announcing it tomorrow. That's but nice.
Exclusive.
It won't be live until tomorrow. But if you check back tomorrow on the companion.app, you can take advantage of our January Blues deal special where you can just go ahead and get a whole annual membership for $19.99. So a penny less than you would pay for that live stream ticket. And you can come to all of them. So yeah, your choice either way, but we're really excited to be hosting. I feel much stronger because I've got my fries with me this time. So
it's going to be awesome.
A lot less nervous. Definitely.
I mean, it's Amanda Tapping. It's going to be fantastic.
I know.
Each time just gets better and better. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, we did have to reschedule it because of scheduling things. So there's obviously still a possibility that things could happen, but that's life. Yeah. So, and everybody from the first reschedule was really cool about it. So just, I always have to put that disclaimer out because I just feel like it happens, you know.
And Rebecca, for those who don't have a frame of reference, because so being able to use that code to get the companion membership for $19.99 compared to what the companion membership typically is.
Typically $39.99. Yeah. So it's 50% off for a membership. Pretty good deal. We strive to do 2 live streams per month. Mm-hmm. So that's 24 live streams. And if the value of that is $20 per live stream, that's $480. It's a good deal. I promise. Yeah. it's a good deal. I'm paying more than that for my companion membership still, by the way. By the way, I refuse to cancel it because I just feel like I need to keep
it's like union dues at this point.
God, Rebecca.
Lawrence does too. I think both of us still just like
have you guys pay for your own memberships to your own company you work for.
Membership number up.
Oh God. Okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. So we have that. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody else wants to kind of tell the story about me suggesting the other crazy thing in May that we're going to do, please.
Christina.
Is this about our jaunt across the ocean?
This is about
across
our
jaunt the across pond, the ocean, across if you will. Pond. Oh, gosh. Okay, put me on the spot with it, girls. I have just gotten my mental clarity back together.
I will clarify any facts that you need, but I feel like I've been talking for a while at this point.
Oh, I might need to clarify quite a bit. Okay, so the Fries will be at Basingstoke. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yep, you did.
For the convention. So we will be there. And what do you want me to say about that? Other than that, we'll be there.
Other than, I don't know, we're super excited.
Get your butts there. Come to the UK. Like, we will be there.
We will.
If we can make it there, you can make it there. And then we can all hang out.
We're really good. Excited.
Headliners in there. There's going to be like a
my gosh.
Group of people.
I was looking. That's the other thing. Richard Dean Anderson, Amanda, Brad Wright,
Richard Luttrell,
Paul
McGillion, Gary Jones,
so many good
Kim
people.
Rhodes from Supernatural or Sweet Life of Zack and
Ivana
Cody,
Millennial from Harry Potter.
Like, so many.
Yeah, so there's like
really good guests.
In the year, it's a really decent lineup.
Here's what's going to really be the true entertainment is that we will be three chips.
We'll be three chips short.
Oh, God.
That's so true.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But we're trying to coordinate. So Rebecca and I are going to come scoop up Sarah and we're all going to take a journey together.
Mm-hmm. So you missed this, Christina, in our pre-live chat. Yeah.
What did I
miss? Because Rebecca has the, like, what is it called? The, like, notification for, like, the flights.
The flight tracker.
And I'm seeing them, and I'm thinking, like, oh, my fucking God. They are so expensive. Like, $2,000.
Oh, yeah.
$1,900. And she's like, no, that's for three of us. I'm like, oh, my God. Thank God. Because I'm thinking I have to fork over. Because I don't fly. Like, I've never really flown anywhere. I flew to Florida once for Disneyland, and then like
professionals here.
I'm thinking, like, holy shit, like, is it really that even round trip $2,000?
No. Like, okay, remember for context, like, it's literally going to cost no more than like what I was flying from coast to coast. I was doing that once a month. Like, we're going to be good. We got this. We're just going across a body of water instead of some land.
A big body of water.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll have some mimosas.
No, it's lovely. And I've, there's a lot of Prosecco is going to be consumed.
Right, you guys, we'll be good. We'll be good.
Because I'd make like really fucked up jokes. Like, oh, are we flying like right over where the Titanic?
Oh, yes. No? Yes, you do.
We will.
See, okay. We do, in fact.
Oh, man. Okay, so we can go on a tangent for that forever. But yes, in summary, the Fries will be.
It's May 10th through 12th the weekend that we will be there. And then hopefully show y'all some London and some things as well. We would add a few days because Basingstoke is apparently not the tourist destination spot, according to all of the UK people I talked to.
But that's fine. We'll go wherever we need to, but we'll be there. We'll be there. So all our UK peoples.
We'll probably record some kind of crazy live while we're at Basingstoke episode or something. It'll be wonderful.
It'll be fun. All right, I think we're just delaying the shit show of what is going to happen, but I think we should just get to it because What did I say in the audio note today? What the hell is this episode?
Yeah. Yes. And I put that somewhere. On Twitter, maybe. I forget. I put it somewhere.
What the hell? Okay. So we are talking about season 3, episode 21, which is called Crystal Skull. And from my memory, this was like a stinker of an episode.
But from my memory, I loved it. And so I rewatched it with like my other lenses. And I had a varying degree of emotions to this episode, but none of them good. So
I was able to pull like maybe two thoughts worth discussing. And then like a lot of thoughts that are also worth discussing, but in a very not serious way at all.
I love it. Let's go for it.
So before we get into it, any more like overall thoughts?
I just am glad CGI and green screen has come a long way, because that shit made me nauseous during this episode. That's my overall thoughts. So
Rebecca?
Yeah, I have a picture to show. That's pretty cool, yeah. Actually, whether you like the green screen or not. This is a really cool BTS picture because it shows.
That is cool.
That is pretty neat, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That is such a narrow walkway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see it in the episode itself because of all like the CGI and whatnot, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's giving, and I have this in the notes, it's giving like the Last Crusade. See, it's not the Penitent Man Shall Pass, but it's the one of those challenges. It's like very much.
Oh,
that.
It's the faith one, like you.
Yeah,
like,
the leap of faith.
Leap of faith. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's giving that they ripped it off from that. I'm telling you.
Well, but, speaking of Indiana Jones, all around, like if because the crystal skull thing.
True,
too,
true.
Like,
well, that came after this episode, so maybe they were like, "Well, you ripped us off here, so now we're gonna rip you off there."
Also, suspending disbelief at what they think is grand and big and so awe-striking. It reminded me of Zoolander when it's like, "What is this? It's a little house." Like it's just like they make it like this huge, amazing structure, and it looks like anyway.
Gray.
Let's gray just go into blobs. This. I'm gonna. All right. I have hot takes, and we need to.
I
want to
hear them all. All right. Yeah. So. We open with the Malp arriving on a planet that's Mayan-esque looking pyramid there that's over 1,000 meters tall, which this is big. I guess my stupid American brain has to think about meters versus feet.
Did you do the calculation?
I didn't. Well, I originally put feet, like 1,000 feet, but I'm like, oh, that doesn't stand. And then I'm like, oh, wait, never mind. It's meters. I had to look at the transcripts.
I'm going to convert it to stories. If we're at 1,000 meters, that is 303 stories.
I mean, that's tall.
Yeah. On a side note, like anytime I watch a nature documentary where it's like, I think there's like a series on Netflix called 72 Dangerous Animals in Latin America. And then they have like Australia, and it's really interesting and fun. But I'm like, my dumbass American brain, because they're like, it's can be over 250 kilometers fast. I'm like, that means absolutely fuck all to me. I need to convert it. I don't know what that means. Nothing. You could tell me that it was 800 miles an hour in kilometers, and it means nothing to me. I don't know. So anyway, the atmosphere on this planet is breathable, but signs of complex life are not there. They're just kind of like empty. And Teal confirms that this is not a Gould structure. So that's interesting, I guess. He's ruling
so
out
that's cool.
Okay. The Malp enters this pyramid to reveal a really big cavern with stalagmites. Sam is immediately excited because according to the Malp readings, these are leptons. That means something inside the pyramid is slowing down neutrinos. Normally neutrinos pass right through ordinary matter, no matter how dense. And then Sam inadvertently calls Jack stupid because she's like, a 500 million just went through you right now. And he's like, oh, no matter how dense, I guess, right?
I mean, it was cute.
It was funny, yeah.
It was funny. You know what, though? I do think it's interesting for Teal'c to admit that it was not Gould, because up until that point, everything pyramid had predominantly been.
That's true.
Gould. So, yeah. Like, identifying, oh, no, this shape is not from us. could have been a good foundation for a branched off storyline that we never got as to why there was a pyramid shape that wasn't Gould. But anyway, I digress.
What could have been? What could have been?
What could have been? It was not a landing for a spaceship.
Just giant ghost aliens.
Yep.
So again, like, this is a material that slows down neutrinos. It's basically like a big physics thing. These leptons, neutrinos. Daniel sees something on the map and has Sam zoom in. Zooming in incredibly high resolution-y, which probably did not exist back in this time, might I add. It's like on episodes of CSI where it's like, zoom in to 800%. There's a perfect picture of the perp.
I was just thinking of the Fall of the House of Usher when they make fun of that. Because yes. He goes, enhance, and they're like, you can't it's actually not a do
thing,
that.
You asshole. Like,
perfect.
I love that when they call that out.
Mm-hmm.
So he has her zoom in, unrealistically so, and across this narrow bridge is a glowing crystal skull. And now Daniel is super interested because it's just like the one his grandfather found in Belize in 1971. And then we have our opening credits. So they created a grandfather for Daniel to have, I guess, just for this episode. Cool. So I have a lot of dialogue here because there's like lots of plot dump. So let's
do it.
Daniel. O'Neill, Hammond, Teal'c, Frasier. There's a lot.
Carter has one line. Frasier has I'll take Carter. You know what? You guys do Daniel and O'Neill.
Okay.
And I'll do the filler parts because it's mostly Daniel and O'Neill. So
okay. We got this. All right. Daniel says, I could name at least a dozen different crystal skulls from various parts of the world, but the skull that Nick discovered in Belize was unique.
Nick?
The great explorer, the not so great grandfather, Nicholas Ballard. He preferred being called Nick when I was a kid. It was, anyway, the point is that no one can explain how the skull that Nick discovered was carved from a single piece of crystal against the grain, given the technology of the day. He claimed that it possessed a certain power.
Hammond says, what kind of power?
That if one were to look into the eyes of the skull, one would be teleported to see aliens.
Ooh, Teal'c, your grandfather saw these aliens?
So he insisted to the entire academic community.
Frasier, I take it this claim didn't go over very well.
As you might imagine, no. He tried for years under controlled conditions to make the skull teleport him again to where the aliens lived, but he never could.
Doesn't mean he wasn't right.
Carter, the academic community didn't believe your theory that the pyramids were landing sites for alien spaceships either.
We have to see this.
Hammond, I'll authorize a standard recon mission. Frasier, Colonel, I can only guess the effect this type of radiation may have on the human body. I recommend limited exposure, 10, 15 minutes at most.
Wait a minute. That's not enough time. I mean, there has to be some sort of radiation suit or...
Hey, if you'd been listening, you know that Nintendo's passed through everything.
I heard.
So off to the planet they go.
I mean, good on Jack for picking up on that there's something that goes through things that shouldn't go through things, and it's probably dangerous.
He 100% made that shit up on purpose. He knows what they're called. He's just trying to maintain his goofy, I don't give a shit attitude. And I kind of love that. Like, I'm going to it's like that self-depreciation. Like, I'm going to make myself sound stupid on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he ain't stupid.
So off to the planet we go. As soon as they enter the pyramid, the radiation levels increase. They don't have much time. Sorry, I don't know what the fuck that was. The pyramid is impressive, and Teal'c points out whoever built it is a formidable race. They cross the narrow bridge to the Crystal Skull. Like I said before, it's giving Last Crusade, the best Indiana Jones movie.
Here, we'll go back Leap to this while you're scene. Talking.
Yes.
That they cross that, except... Yep. It looks less green.
Yeah. So Sam starts the radiation clock countdown. Daniel walks up to this pedestal where the skull is, and he becomes enamored with it. The scene is kind of weird because they're all doing their own thing. Did you realize this? Like, Daniel's looking at this skull. Sam is, like, talking about radiation and leptons or whatever the fuck. And then Jack's, like, looking over the edge. I wonder how far down that... It's so weird. It was very strange. Because, like, aren't you on a countdown? Don't you have shit to do? Like, you're just looking down? I don't know. It was weird.
Oh.
So...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. I think it was just, like, bizarre writing. So... Lights begin to glow in the skull, and Teal'c tries to get Daniel's attention, but he's ignored. The radiation spikes to 300, then 400%, and Jack is like, we gotta get the fuck out of here now, bitches. Like, we gotta go. Lights explode from the skull, and an energy field engulfs Daniel. Teal'c raises his zat and fires at the skull, knocking Daniel away. The energy field collapses. Daniel is lying stunned on the floor, but none of the others go over to check on him. It appears that he has disappeared. And Teal'c crosses over to the stone pedestal. He steps right through Daniel, where he's lying unconscious on the floor. And even Jack is like, where did he go? Like, they don't see him anymore. So the radiation is off the charts now. Sam suddenly passes out and is caught by O'Neill, who lifts her up over his shoulder and starts running back across the bridge. This is where I said in our group chat, I'm like, this is the best part of the episode. I want someone to scoop me up like that and carry my radiation sickness body away.
I mean, he was just ready to go, but like,
she didn't even hit the floor at all.
No, like, he was like,
not even close.
I think that's what I think that's why it's so great, because it's so smooth. It's just like, so boop, smooth. Like done.
But then it's right after that is the Teal'c running in place, like scene where I'm like, I can't, because he's like. And you can tell he's not actually running. They're just
pretend to run, Teal'c. Pretend to run.
Pretend to run.
Yep.
Pretend to run. It was it was interesting.
So Jack, who was hauling Sam on his shoulders, and Teal'c run across the bridge, gate home, all with various amounts of radiation sickness, and Daniel is noticeably absent. So this is where I'm like, what the fuck kind of radiation is this? Because I have watched the Chernobyl HBO miniseries, and that is the scariest fucking shit ever. Like, the most body horror shit I've ever seen. So, like, for them to be like, radiation sickness, 400%. Like, what on earth? And my question
it's
is
not answered. On earth, that's the thing.
Yeah, my question is answered, like, in the next scene. Because we cut to the infirmary. Jack wakes up feeling like shit. Frasier tells him that it's muon radiation, and it's affected his hypothalamus, causing him to overheat. Now, I tried to look up what the fuck muon radiation is, and it was too small for my fucking pea brain to handle. I'm like, well, they got me, because I'm not going to look into this anymore. I guess that's the difference. It's not nuclear radiation. It's muons, or whatever the fuck.
Oh.
Like real small?
It's usually in the upper layer of the atmosphere. It's a result of the interaction of primary cosmic radiation and atmospheric nuclei.
Oh, did you just look that up?
I did. I did not know that ahead of time.
Say that was very semantic.
I should have. Yeah, you don't know what muon radiation is? Come on.
Absolutely not. And even when you're reading that definition, that still tells me absolutely nothing. It means nothing to me. It's just like, okay, it's like some kind of radiation that's in the atmosphere before we get to space. So,
I mean, okay.
I guess it, I mean, I at least accept the explanation as that's a form of radiation that, at least on Earth, should be really hard for humans to come in contact with. So,
yeah.
They
and it's
kinda,
more,
yeah.
I guess more naturally occurring versus like the man-made kind, which is real fucking terrifying. Where like that kind. So, again, I still don't know like what the effects on the human body would be at 400% spikes, but I don't know.
We're going to suspend our disbelief there.
We have no choice.
They'll be fine.
Oh, never mind. Okay, approximately one muon hits every square centimeter of the Earth every minute at sea level.
Oh.
So it's natural background radiation.
What are you laughing at?
The chat.
Let's see. Let's read some comments.
Is it we want John's first? Wait, which John?
No. Okay, hold on. Muons are another type of leptons, like the Nintendos.
Yeah.
See, Nintendo the lepton is making me, my millennial brain, think of an episode of Jimmy Neutron.
Fair. Okay.
Anyways, radiation is bad and it like makes you feel bad.
Radiation bad.
Instead of Chernobyl radiation, which that, I mean, that miniseries is terrifying, but it's also amazing. So,
It's so fucking good.
Okay. Focus.
Anyway.
Focus. So,
Dilk tells Hammond that all the stuff that happened and that Daniel disappeared. And cut to the control room. Hammond is trying to locate Daniel with the map, but he can't even see. I don't know what that means. Oh, he can't even see him with infrared because they're like cycling through all the.
Did you
the,
type these songs of him?
I don't know what that.
But
I don't
can't
know
even. What, oh yeah, your typo says.
Daniel, I know what I put.
Daniel with the melt, but can't even see songs of him with
signs of him.
Signs of him with infrared.
It gets signs. Yep.
Yeah. The songs of him. That makes sense too.
Yeah. So they're even like cycling through like infrared or night vision or ultraviolet. So like they can't see him at all. Teal'c joins him, all better thanks to his symbiote. He proposes to go back for the skull because Nicholas Ballard believed the crystal skull was a teleportation device. Mm-hmm. Recovering the skull might help determine the location to where Daniel went. Good idea. Mm-hmm. Like, we should probably bring this skull back because that's the only fucking thing there. Except for these stalagmites, which I can't really take those. So Hammond agrees since Teal'c's symbiote will protect him. Teal'c goes back. We get some CGI shots of him running across the bridge again. Christina has to control her nausea.
It was so shaky. I don't understand. I mean, I get it because like they had to like put it in, but it was a wobbly mess. I don't know.
It was bad. CGI. Mm-hmm. So he goes back, retrieves the skull. Daniel wakes up and tries to talk to Teal'c, but he can't hear him. And Teal'c runs straight through him like a hologram. Daniel follows Teal'c to the infirmary. He follows him back home too, like through the gate. Are you good?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It's like, wait, what's. Sam is still recovering, I guess, because her lady body just couldn't take the radiation because she seems to be affected by it the most, which is where I had one of those thoughts where I was like laughing to myself, Rebecca. Because I was like, what? Because she was reading it, it's like, you smelt it, you dealt it, girl. Like, you get the worst of it because, like, you were reading your Geiger counter or whatever.
No, what would have been really cool is if, like, Jack passed out instead.
And
she Sam had him. To. Because I guarantee you she can do it because they have 100%. To be able to do it. Like, mm-hmm. So.
She absolutely could.
Would have been teal. You know, would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have that. I'll just have that in my brain. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Save it for the fanfic. Anyway. Sam is still like completely out for the count. And Jack is recovering, but he's very cranky and vocal about it. He refers to Fraser as a Napoleonic power monger, which I thought was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Teal'c and Jack discuss the skull. They don't think it's a weapon, but now think it's some kind of teleportation device. Daniel is in the room with them and he's like, okay, I'm invisible. It has to be this other third option that we don't know about yet.
I love invisible Daniel just going around like still just
talking at people.
Talking like, to people, but like they're not, they don't hear him.
He's like still including himself in these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
There's this really funny interaction between O'Neill, Teal'c, and Fraser. This was the other best part of this episode.
It's actually not Fraser. It's just Fraser is referred to.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys got this then.
Who do you want? You want to be O'Neill or Teal'c?
I'll be O'Neill.
Okay, perfect.
Look, I'm sick of laying around. Help me up.
Dr. Fraser believes you are not strong enough to undertake such a mission.
Yeah, whatever. And he tries to get up and then he succeeds in rolling off the bed and onto the floor.
Dr. Fraser is usually correct in such matters. Bam. Puts him down.
Thank you.
You're welcome, O'Neill. He literally like plunks him up into the bed and then it's a very muffled thank you. Like, because his face is just planted into the mattress.
It's literally just the episode, like you're saying, Sarah, of everyone just picking other people up. Everyone's just getting picked up in this episode.
The best part of the episodes. Yeah. Anyway. Rothman is currently studying the skull, who is another scientist that works with the SGC, and Invisible Daniel is trying to help him. It seems like they are keeping vital information from Rothman because, like, how it was found on another planet. They don't tell him that. Does he, like, not know?
Well, there's probably security clearance things. Maybe he's not to be trusted. I don't know.
For what Hammond is asking, though, that seems like very fucking important information to not tell him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. Like, they're setting him up for failure.
This is 100% why Sam had to be the one that was out for half the episode.
Mm-hmm. To get the Rothman.
It's just like when, like, Teal'c can't be there because he's got to be, because he would be able to do, like, something way better than everybody else that was there. Like, I'm tracking that now, at least.
Yeah. So, like, Hammond has the nerve to get all pissy when Rothman doesn't understand what he's supposed to be doing, and then Hammond demands a full report in 12 hours. It's like, dude, if you're not going to give him all the information, like, what's the assignment? Like, what are you asking of him? It's like when I freak out at work because I'm given unclear instructions, and it's like, tell me what you need, because this is very not clear to me. Christina has her hand raised.
Because I think part of it might be that after X amount of time, they will release that information. But sometimes going into something without a bias is helpful, because then you can look at it from a different perspective than what you would have knowing where it came from. Because I think, yeah, if you were to hand me these glasses and be like, what could you tell me about them? I might look at the materials. I might look at it instead of, like, the story around it. I might look at, like, the function of it, or, like, the physics of it, or, like, the, like, what makes it glasses versus why did they get to where they were found. And, like, I don't know. I think there's some validity to not giving all the information right up front. Maybe he has a unique insight. But, yeah, at some point, they should tell him. Mm-hmm. It is frustrating.
And what happened to Daniel? Like, I don't know. It just seems like such vital information that could steer him in the right direction that they're keeping from him altogether. Because he even goes on, he's like, oh, this is, like, identical to the one that was found in Belize. And it was probably made in Germany. So, like, right off the bat, he's off to the wrong start. Like, oh, it's probably made in Germany. Wrong. It was, like, because they're purposely keeping that information from him. Yeah. So it's like, you're just setting yourself up to get bad information because you're not telling him the full picture. Which maybe, okay, don't tell him everything, but, like, maybe steer him in the right direction, the poor guy. I felt bad for him this whole episode.
You know what? That could be a good question for Brad sometime, is why did not everyone always know about the missions?
I don't expect a satisfying answer.
Exactly. So it's just going to have to go. So, like, that's my point. Like, we're not going to... I don't know.
Yeah. So there was actually this, like, funny bit of information between... or this exchange between Rothman and Siler, because it looks like their workstation, like, they share a desk. They don't even have their own desk. They share. And Rothman says, teleportation device? Because I think somebody mentioned it. And he looks at Siler, who's working across from him. He's like, what do you think? And Siler's like, I think you're going to get fired. Because, like, he doesn't understand the assignment because he was given unclear instructions.
Exactly. But also, he didn't ask the questions. He didn't ask, where did you find this? So you don't see him even asking the right questions. So, like, maybe they would have answered him if he had asked. But anyway.
That seems petty. Like, I don't know. If I'm approaching somebody with a project, I over-explain to make sure they understand. So shame on Hammy, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
I felt bad for Rothman this whole episode. Like,
I think Hammy is also spoiled, though, by like, if Sam and Daniel were actually there, he would have gotten a full report in like 4 hours. So he's like, here, just give me the report, do the thing. Cause, you know, he's in charge of everybody, but he doesn't know what he should be saying or what he should be doing. Or, you know, cause he's like, he's always had, like, Sam and Daniel to be the people that just tell him all the good information, basically.
But they have, like, the clearance that Rothman doesn't have, and they already know as much as they could possibly know before having to figure it out more.
Exactly.
So there's some dialogue. Just kidding. Teal'c is Kelno Reaming. Teal'c is doing his Kelno Ream with Invisible Daniel in the room. Daniel thanks him for returning, and Teal kind of senses his presence, but still can't see or hear him. Like, he walks, he's, like, looking around. He, like, walks outside to make sure, like, no one's outside his door. So, there's some, like, can they sense him? Can they not? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I just love that scene, though, in a way, because it's, like, his Kelner reaming, but it's also, when he stands up, it's very much, like, his, like, impromptu seance, because he's, like, is there somebody here? Like, it's like I just felt like at that point, I don't know.
Get the Ouija board out, Teal.
Yeah.
So, cut to Rothman. He is looking directly into the skull's eyes.
He was told not to do that. He was told. I went back. He was told, do not look into the skull's eyes.
But
and he did it anyway.
Yes, because he was trying to prove a point, as he says. So, Sam, like, I guess, awakens from her radioactive slumber and is cranky about it. And she, like, screams at him to not do that, because that's exactly what Daniel was doing when he was absorbed by this energy field. And he was like, I know that. I was trying to prove a point. Because, and I have it later in the notes, but do you guys want to finish reading? It's Frazier, Daniel, Carter, Rothman. Yeah. I'll take the Rothman. I'll take him.
Okay. I can do...
You do Frazier and Daniel.
Yeah. All right. Frazier says, proof what? And then Daniel says that the skull didn't do this.
You don't think the skull is responsible for what happened to Daniel, do you?
I'm still here.
There was intense muon radiation at the time of the energy.
There's no residual radiation.
Look, I saw what that thing is capable of.
Hey, I wish it was a teleportation device. I could use it to go find Daniel. He's my friend too, you know? I don't think that's what we've got here. I think we've got here is a paperweight.
So it just sounds like he has, like, a cold the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I think he's, like, they're filling him with, like, he's mm-hmm. the stereotypical nerdy mm-hmm. scientist who 100%. Has allergies.
That nasal.
Well, you even saw him, like, using, like, nasal spray or some shit too.
Mm-hmm. Of course he did.
Because it's like, yes, all nerds have congestion, I guess. And where it's like, why?
I mean, like, kind of.
Actually, there is a correlation between intelligence and allergies.
Yes.
Well, then, shit, I guess I'm smart as fuck.
Yes.
But like, it's like the notion of glasses are like a smart people thing. Like, how do you correlate bad eyesight with being smart? Where did that come from?
I mean, I guess you're smart because you go get it fixed.
That's true. But, like, beyond that, it's like what you read so much, your eyes are tired and they're like, fuck you, I'm, like, bouncing. Like, go get glasses. We need help. This is too much work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I have a rant, because I'm Team Rothman. This poor guy, just because he's not part of the clique of SG-1 doesn't make him any less valid. Sam takes over the test. Clearly the radiation is the secret ingredient here. Because that's what makes this shit work, apparently. And they can't replicate it without having Chernobyl Part 2 Cheyenne Mountain. Like, that's clearly the secret ingredient here. You want to replicate 400% times radiation? Then Rothman's really going to be fired. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad for him, because they're just, like, punching down on him so hard. There is a moment when Daniel speculates why he isn't hungry or thirsty, and then wonders if he might be dead. And then Sam, as he kind of, like, speaks this out loud, Sam also has a moment, like Teal'c had, where she senses Daniel, but it's all chalked up to, like, radiation sickness. Mm-hmm. So, cuts the control room. After running all the tests she could think of, she's got nothing. Just like Rothman said, she did all of her tests. Just to confirm, yeah, I guess Rothman was right, but they didn't even say that. Just like he said, they got nothing.
I think that they believed in Rothman this whole fucking time, and just hear me out. I just think some people come to their strength and their, like, ownership of a problem by a little bit of this unknown. Like, I think they intentionally left information out because they obviously trusted him with it. They didn't fully take it away. They just, like, I don't know. I don't think they were anti-Team Rothman. I just think they were presenting it to him in a different way to see what he would come up with, which was what we just said, is that, like, it's not what they were telling him. Like, he had a different perspective, and he proved it, and he said it, and then they kind of moved forward with that idea. So I think just because he wasn't given all the information up front didn't mean they were anti-Team Rothman. I just think that's what he needed in order to kind of find his footing with it.
That's all. You're giving them way too much credit. I'm a hater, and I think that they are.
You are such a hater. And
yes, because they don't even give him credit. Like, Sam's like, I'm taking over these tests because you suck, apparently, and I have to step in and do this, even though I'm radiation sick right now. Like, that's the vibe I got.
I can't even get a sick day off because you suck at this.
Exactly.
And I'm over here like, no, they're just letting him learn by fire.
No, it's because he's not in their fucking clique. Like, this is high school bullshit all over again. Jerks.
Okay.
I shook my head so far my thing came, my charger came out of my headset. So... Cut to the okay, so they couldn't find anything out. Rothman was right. They want to go back, but the radiation is too high, so they send a UAV to check out the rest of the planet. And then we have some more dialogue. Carter,
Frazier, and Daniel are the big ones.
Yeah, I'll get the O'Neill in there.
I got Daniel. Frazier? No, Daniel. I'll just do
You'll
Daniel.
Be talking to yourself a lot.
Yeah, no, I'll just do Daniel. There's a hammy at the end. You want to do Carter grab hammy?
At the end.
I'll do,
I'll grab the hammy at the end if you want to do Carter Frazier.
Okay, sure. Let's do it. I can't believe I'm going to suggest this, but what about Daniel's grandfather?
Nick?
Well, he claimed that the skull teleported him somewhere. He may be the only person who actually knows where Daniel is. Frazier. I'm not so sure, Major. I've already taken the liberty of looking him up.
Oh, no, you didn't.
His current address is a psychiatric institute in Oregon.
Psychiatric?
Apparently, his failure to prove the crystal skull was more than just a curiosity, caused a severe mental breakdown from which he's never been able to fully recover. Nick checked himself in, and then Carter says, why wouldn't Daniel have told us that?
Oh, yes. By the way, he's insane.
Frazier. Daniel was a regular visitor up there until 4 years ago, right before he joined the Stargate program.
Oh, please. He kicked me out. We had a huge fight.
Apparently, Nick still talks about him all the time.
He doesn't want anything to do with me.
The doctor I spoke to says any friends of Dr. Jackson's are welcome.
What?
Carter, we don't have much else to go on.
Find out what you can, but I needn't remind you the details of this matter will have to remain classified. That means you won't be able to tell him what happened to Dr. Jackson or where the skull was found. So, cut to the institution and Teal'c, P.I. because he's wearing his, like, detective noir getup with his little hat and trench coat and everything.
Daniel- Does he say something like, are you close friends or something? And he goes, yeah. Extremely close. Something like that.
Is that in this thing here or no? Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, I kind of cut that out. But they all like say something different. Like I think Jack said no or Daniel said no, but Teal'c was like, yes, we're extremely close friends. So Daniel cuts ahead of them and tries to communicate with Nick and have him tell SG-1 everything he knows about the skull that he found in Belize. So... we have this chunk of dialogue. We have Nick, O'Neill, Daniel.
Carter.
I got Daniel.
I got Carter.
And then...
I'll do the O'Neill.
I'll do Nick. Nick.
Okay.
Nick. Daniel followed my footsteps.
You must be very proud.
He made a fool of himself.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
He staked his entire academic career on this belief that the Great Pyramids of Egypt were made by aliens.
Yes, well, that's...
He was more insane than I was. I told him so. I told him to forget all that nonsense.
It wasn't nonsense. I was right.
He lost his apartment, his research grant. He hasn't published a paper in 2 years. Now where is he? Where is he now? And Carter, in a way, that's what this is all about. We wanted to hear exactly what happened to you back in 71 when you first found the skull. Nick. Nothing happened. There were no aliens.
Trust them, Nick.
No one believed me.
Daniel believed you.
No, don't.
He didn't. He wanted to. He did listen. In the end, he did not believe in my theories of the skull, just as I did not believe his theories of the pyramids and the aliens.
Nick, can you tell us what happened when you found the skull?
Why?
Because we found another skull identical to the one you found in Belize.
Show me. Carter. It's in a high security facility at the moment, but if you tell us about your experiences, we... Nick, then take me there.
We can't do that. It's classified.
You have to.
If you don't, then I won't tell you anything. And he gets up to the window, up and looks to the window, looks out. It's up to you.
It's such a like pouty. It's up to you.
Yeah. Da, da, da. So Jack convinces him to let Nick come to the SGC. There's this really funny line where...
Can we please read this?
Yeah. You guys got that?
Sure. Clearly I'm Hammond.
Yes.
A civilian who has spent the last 20 years of his life in a psychiatric institution?
Exactly. Who's going to believe him if he says anything?
Colonel, you walk a fine line.
Thank you, sir.
He was very proud of that. But he's right. Like, if you have to bring any civilian in, like, that's a good one, I guess.
God.
So we cut to, like, Jack leaves and Daniel kind of sticks around in Hammond's doorway. And he overhears a conversation between Hammond and his granddaughter and how she lost another tooth. But he can't come to her school play because his friend is missing and he has to find him. So Christina had thoughts about that.
I did. I thought it was, so it's the first time we've seen Hammy as like anything other than General Hammond, really, other than 1969, but it still like is kind of in storyline. But it's interesting because Daniel's, without being creepy, Daniel's kind of listening in across the episode around how people feel about him. And I think any of us would do that, like want to know how people feel. And he got to hear Hammy genuine be like, no, it's a friend of mine and he's really close. Like, Hammy could have said anything, but to really like
this
hear
jerk
that.
That's always getting himself in trouble.
Yeah. But like, he said it so sincerely. Because later on, we hear Carter and O'Neill say some stuff too. And it's like, I don't know. I just thought it was sweet. But it was sweet to kind of be like, oh shit, Hammy's got grandchildren and he's got people depending on him. And we just don't ever really hear about that up to this point. So at least in this episode, we got that start of a backstory.
Yeah. I'm going to pull us to the comments for a minute.
Yes, let's read some comments. Can we please talk about Nick's unhinged accent? I was wondering about what kind of accent is that?
It's a little all over the place.
It feel like, I don't like, or is this a German accent? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It's kind of, you know, I mean, it's like in Die Hard, Alan Rickman's accent was German for like 2 minutes. And then it wasn't anymore.
It's like the vaguely European accent. Like, just...
from all over the place.
Something, I guess, yep. And stick with it.
Yep.
Any other comments worth...
This one. Also from John. Sam is every mom with a partner who does not do shit working when she is sick. Yep. She likes to have the control, too. She feels like...
Totally.
Nobody's going to do it right. I have to do it because, you know, I'm the one that can do it right.
Yeah.
That's fair, but my girl needs a break.
We have an accent. I think it's a mix of German and Connecticut. Other John says, sounded Irish Canadian. So, I mean, we're all over the place with this accent.
Yeah.
Nick needs to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So back to the Hammond thing. Like, it is very sweet. I do like seeing that interaction with him. However, it just felt too much like a setup of like, oh, Daniel's only overhearing this to bring this up later on to prove that like he's actually here. Because that is used later on to like convince Hammond that Daniel is actually there.
This is the first time we hear about Hammond's grandkids, right?
Yeah. I can't recall. Like, I don't know if he has, like, mentioned them in passing.
He's probably mentioned them, but, like, for
them to be talking.
Yeah.
Well, but also, though, because I think the idea is everyone's, like, left the room and, like, normally that's something that would only happen in private. like he Hammond wouldn't let anyone see that side of him.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why it felt too much like a setup of like, okay, obviously Daniel is witnessing this for a specific reason. Like I'm thinking in terms of like writing like the episode. Like Daniel has to witness something that nobody else saw to prove that he's actually here, type of thing. Like that kind of trope of like, how would anyone know that I was alone? I so guess that's so. Kind of like I do like seeing it, but it still felt like a little insincere.
But it could have been anything in private. Like it could have been any conversation in private. It could have been any topic.
I also thought that how does his, I don't know, like 10-year-old granddaughter have a direct line to his red phone?
Like, I mean, she's gonna. Well, no, I think they probably had to patch her through.
Through.
Oh, Lo like, says this episode feels very much like it was written to establish how much the team cares about one another and how much they don't care about Rothman.
They're a bunch of bullies. Mean girls.
It's Mean Girls. It's Mean Girls, SGC.
You can't sit with us, Rothman.
Okay. All right.
So Daniel overhears his conversation with Hammond and his granddaughter. Nick is brought to the skull and he confirms it's exactly the same that he found in Belize. He describes the cavern being just like the one where SG-1 were on the other planet. So he was like, yeah, I was in Belize, but then I was at this other place. And he describes the cavern and everything like SG-1 saw. Who wants to read the little dialogue? It's Nick and then one little Rothman line.
I don't care.
Can you reproduce the bizarre accent?
I cannot reproduce
the vaguely European.
No, I can't do that. But I'll read it, but I can't do it.
Go for it. I'll be Rothman.
Okay, sounds good. I'm not gonna do an accent. I'm not gonna try. I don't know how I got there. A field of energy surrounded me and suddenly I was simply there. And then they came. Giant aliens. They rose up as if they were made of mist. They flew around like specters. They spoke, oh, yay, woggling, woggling, waite. Did I read that right? My glasses are not on.
Walling, wailing, walling. I don't know.
Walling, walling, waite.
Tail. Sure.
We'll
go with that.
My glasses are not on. And then the like red squiggly lines are like throwing me off.
So Rothman, that's Mayan. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Nick says, I was afraid to answer. I just closed my eyes and suddenly I found myself back again under the temple in Belize. And the ground was shaking as if an earthquake and just grabbed the skull and climbed out and everything collapsed.
So meanwhile, as he's recounting this thing, Invisible Daniel is in the corner, rolling his eyes, feeling so embarrassed by this recount, and is groaning about, see, this is why nobody believed him. Bro, all of you people should believe him now after everything you have seen. All of these bitches should believe him because, like, they have the nerve to act all snobby. Like, only the aliens that I have seen count, and this guy is bananas. Like, they still have the nerve to be like, this guy's got a fucking screw loose. Let me tell you. Like, I don't understand it. It's so frustrating.
God, you are feisty today, Sarah.
Justice for Nick and Rothman. Justice. Because, like, God. Daniel, you of all people.
Nick messed up. Nick messed up a while ago, though, which is why Daniel is kind of over him, is my guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
He mentions it later, but yeah, I think there's a reason why Daniel is pretty hostile toward him.
But considering everything going on at the current moment, Mr. Invisible Daniel, that people can walk through you, you're still like, this fucking guy's making his banana. Like, bro, you have everything to lose. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should take him a little seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Nick could never again find the temple in Belize. It was like it never existed because he tried to go back to like recreate it, but the temple collapsed and then he could never find it again. And he said, can you imagine what it feels like to go on the most incredible journey of your life and have no one believe you? And then finally we get like a smidge, a crumb of recognition from some of SG-1 to be like, oh shit, yeah. I guess like we should maybe
sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not they don't say it. They're just like, oh, empathy, I guess. But Beyond that, that's all we get. So Nick is escorted to a VIP room. Jack and Sam continue debating Nick's claims while still not fully believing him, which is wild, mm-hmm. again, wild to me mm-hmm. after all the shit they've seen. So Daniel is alone with Nick in his room. They have a full-ass conversation. Nick apologizes for not adopting him when his parents died. Daniel now mm-hmm. realizes Nick can see him and has been able to see him the entire time. But mm-hmm. Nick thinks he's just hallucinating. He's like, I'm crazy. I know I'm nuts. I checked myself into a hospital. Like, you're not real.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel tries to convince him. And it's like, hey, listen, I know I've been trying to convince you that your entire life that you're crazy and insane. But now I need you to realize that you're not, because like I need your help, which is kind of.
Here's shitty. The thing. It seems like Nick also just has hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
Because he kind of he referred to it being in the facility, having like regularly talking to fake Daniel. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of the way it felt, which is like, that's cool. He could still have hallucinations and still be 100% right on this one, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I have a theory about that too, then, for the end.
Okay.
So we cut to the briefing room. Nick tells Hammond, Frazier, and the rest of SG-1 that Daniel is here and that he can see him. Jack sarcastically says he's lost a few pounds.
Daniel just like, Jack, don't be an ass.
Jack, don't be an ass.
And then Jack's like, Daniel, you're here? Because Nick repeated exactly what Daniel said. So like, that's all it took for Jack to believe him, which is mm-hmm. kind of funny. Nick tells them they have to go back to the planet and let the skull finish what it started. They all pause at the mention of planet because they're like, oh.
Hammond's like, why would you? Like,
Jack. So we have this piece of dialogue. O'Neill, Nick, Daniel, Hammond, Frazier. So I'll grab
I'll be O'Neill. Hammy, Frazier.
All right, I can be Nick, Daniel.
So Nick mentions planet and Jack is like, not a word, sir, I swear.
Daniel told me all about the Stargate. We must replace the skull on the pedestal so that the giant aliens will come. Something must have interrupted this process.
Teal'c fired his dad. That's all I can imagine it would be, sir.
Daniel says, that's it. That's what interrupted the process. We have to let it happen. We have to trust it.
Why didn't you say something sooner?
Nick says, I thought I was hearing voices. It wouldn't have been for the first time.
Frazier, forgive me, but why are you the only person who can see him?
Perhaps because I went through the same experience.
So then Daniel uses the conversation he had with his granddaughter to convince Hammond that, mm-hmm. like, I am here. You were alone when you had that conversation, so what else could it be? So they go to the planet. Nick does lie and say, like, Daniel says I have to come.
Daniel was like, there. I did?
Just like, stop, you're taking advantage of this.
I mean, who wouldn't do that? Like, yes. I totally gotta go. Like,
yeah, I'm critical. I have to be there. Sorry.
Yeah. Yep. So they get to the planet. Nick confirms that the cavern is exactly how he remembered it. They cross the bridge and Nick replaces the skull on the pedestal. Daniel looks into its eyes again. The lights flash all around them. Radiation spikes, but they don't leave this time. There's a field of light. It collapses back around the skull and then Daniel reappears. But now, everyone except for Teal'c mm-hmm. is all out of phase. They can see each other, but then Teal'c is like looking around like, hello, where is everyone? Like, where did you mm-hmm. go? So we have some dialogue. Daniel, Carter, giant alien.
Before that, you skipped over the from the cavern floor, a giant mist alien appears and speaks Mayan.
I think I went, I think I skipped down too much. So
it's just that last little line right about just that little line,
and he says the same line that Christina tried bravely to say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And I don't know, do we confirm if Teal'c can also see this, or only the people who are like,
I think Teal'c
invisible
can't.
Out of phase or whatever.
I think the aliens are out of phase too, so Teal'c can't only see. The people they bring in would be able to see them.
All right, so Daniel, Carter.
I'll be Carter and giant alien.
I'll be O'Neill.
Okay, I'll just be Daniel. And then the little Nick that's in there. All right, Daniel says, it didn't affect Teal'c. Why?
Because he's Jaffa.
He's carrying a symbiote, a Gould, and then goes towards the alien and then says, "We are enemies of the Gould."
"Then you are welcome here."
Jack looks at Daniel. "Keep talking."
"We are travelers. We come in search of friendship. We'd like to exchange our knowledge and culture."
And these are very trusting giant aliens because they straight up just say, "We accept your proposition." Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, then he points to Nick. "You may remain. This is not the first time you have journeyed here."
Yeah. And so then, it's like, we'll only let this guy stay because, like, he's been here before. He checks out.
Yep.
And they're good people.
Yeah. So then he volunteers to stay, and Nick's like, "This was my," and Nick to everyone's like, "This was my life's work. I've been hoping for another chance at this for 29 years. Please." And Daniel says, "You just came back into my life." And Nick says, "I'll be back again."
Spoiler alert, no, he fucking won't.
No, he won't. He's done. He's gone.
Bye-bye, Nick.
So
wait, hold on, because Daniel's like, "You have to tell me everything." And they have this whole thing where Daniel's like, "Tell me, you'll have to tell me everything." And he's like, "I will. I promise."
It's kind of like he just pulled that shit again. "Oh, I didn't adopt you when your parents died." I mean,
in that terrible museum accident where they were crushed by giant fucking stones.
Fuck. It's the worst. Poor Daniel. The worst fucking love.
I'm saying, I think there's a reason why, there's a fairly justified reason why he's so mad at Nick at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, okay. SG-1 are directed by the giant mist alien to look back into the eyes of the skull. Daniel says goodbye and he calls Nick Grandpa. Because there was this whole thing of like, yeah, he didn't let us call him Grandpa. He made us call him Nick. And that's why he called him Nick the whole episode. And then they kind of like make amends. He's like, "Bye, Gramps." And then that's the end of the episode. Thoughts? Comments?
Well, John's got a comment.
Let's hear it. He says the aliens are the furlings. Which, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, but you see the word furling and picture fur.
Which is why it's never going to be fur. Actually, we're just never going to see the furlings.
It's too, yeah.
Brad pretty much said that on the celebration thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, we'll never see them.
It's been built up too much to a point where
it's a gag now. You can't. You just can't.
Anything would be disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Go. Just go.
All right. So these are my two discussion points that I was able to fucking think of from this nothing sandwich of an episode. Nick and Daniel are two sides of the same coin. So both have these outlandish, correct ideas. They're crazy, but they're both correct about aliens. They're shunned from their academic community. However, while Daniel meets Catherine Langford, he has the opportunity to explore and prove his theories. Nick doesn't and remains shunned, ultimately being institutionalized and labeled as crazy. This could have easily become Daniel's fate, 100%. Which is why... No, regardless of the past, I think after Daniel experienced this and like found out that his theories were true, he could have extended that grace to Nick to be like, "Hey, maybe you were right."
But in his eyes, he didn't deserve it, and I don't blame him, because I'm sorry, if my grandfather didn't adopt me after my parents died that way, that person deserves nothing from me. They don't deserve to be validated. I would hold that forever against them.
Yeah. I'm very pro cutting people out, you know. So like,
and you know that I'm not. And you know that I'm not. I'm like the opposite. I'm like the forgive and forgive a million times before they've even done any wrong. But like that I don't think he owes him that. I think that's on Daniel. I don't think Daniel should feel obligated to have done that, because also he couldn't prove his work. Daniel did in a way have his work proven. I don't know,
sheer luck though.
Sure, but he doesn't, what good would it do to extend that to Nick?
Here's the other thing, you know, as much as we were, you know, bashing Daniel for not believing Nick had the experience he had and did not believe Daniel when Daniel had his theories. So it went both ways for sure.
Yep.
However, Nick's was more of an experience that he had. Like, this is my lived experience. This is what I have seen for myself.
Mm-hmm.
While Daniel's at that point was just a theory. So.
And also, though, like, it's because, yeah, okay, to your point. So Nick's was more like of an abduction, thank you, story.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if he is also someone who had, like, a mental break and does have hallucinations in whatever record aside from that, that'd be hard to, like, discern the truth there. But, like, Daniel put, like, research and thesis and, like, a lot together to prove his point, even without the experience. So I can understand that they didn't believe each other because there's two totally different things. I think if Daniel had said, I experienced this, maybe Nick would have been like, oh shit, I experienced something too. Let's talk about it. Or if Nick had research done and tried to prove something and it was disbelieved, maybe they would have found common ground there. But that's my take.
I get it. Yeah. I get, like, the dynamic being strained. But then what frustrated me about this episode the most was that, like, even after everything that happened, Daniel is still, like, rolling his eyes and being like, oh, God, this fucking story again. It's like, bro, what do you mean? Like, this is happening to you right now and you're still on this shit? Like, he is your best chance of figuring out what happened. So that was my frustration. And again, that could have easily been Daniel had he not found the path that he is on now.
Right.
So my other theory is that Nick mentions he has heard voices in the past, which is why he didn't think Daniel was real. But was Nick really crazy? Because after his experience with the aliens, he was exposed to another plane of existence, which is why he could see Daniel. So could his hallucinations really be just beings from another plane of existence that nobody else can see? And that's why he thinks himself to be crazy. That's why other people think he's crazy. Like, after being exposed to this, maybe he could see and hear shit that nobody else could because of what he went through.
Totally could be.
I believe that.
Which makes me feel even, like, worse for him because he convinced himself he was the one who checked himself into the institution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's actually a really solid theory that maybe he did actually see all those people who were in a shifted area.
And the lore of those shifted out of phase people keeps continuing throughout Stargate too, you know.
Yeah.
So there's so many different ways that people are get shifted out of you know, this dimension into out of phase.
Sarah, I really like that theory. That
that's
a good one.
So makes you wonder, like, in the world of Stargate, like, are there people that are considered, like, crazy or a little far out there? And it's like, maybe they're not. Maybe they just were exposed to something that is alien and now they can see, like, ghosts or whatever. Like, I don't know. It just is a cool theory to think about. And again, like, makes me feel bad for Nick because he convinced himself he was crazy. And he could have just been seeing something on a whole other plane of existence that's on Earth that we don't even know about. Like ghosts. Like,
I'll give you that one. I like that.
I don't know.
I like that one.
But that's all I had for this episode. I couldn't really think of anything else. The nothing burger.
This episode angered me about so many stupid things because I forgot to mention when we were talking about all the stupid CGI stuff in the running across the bridge is when Daniel, when he's running out of phase, when Teal'c goes to rescue him, he's not there, and he gets up and he's like got his vest and he's running back. Why does he take his vest off and throw it into the abyss to run back?
Wouldn't I saw that too.
That has all of his equipment. That has all his stuff. Why would you throw it into the abyss?
It was too heavy. He's like, I have to run fast. I don't know.
Stupidest edit ever. Like, I'm like, why would you take your shit off and throw it and then go through? And then also, how does he actually go through a wormhole if he's out of phase? Like, that also, like, messes with me. Anyway,
that's that true. Stuff. It makes I wondered if he could have like dialed back, because I was thinking, how does he get back? I forgot for a second.
Yeah,
like did he just dial the gate and walk through the iris? Could that possibly happen?
He probably could have walked through the iris, but he can't touch the.
That's the, true. You're right. You know, yeah,
the DHT he can't, to like dial press the
buttons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also back to the CGI. We mentioned this in our group chat. Like while they're looking at this expanse of horrible CGI, they're playing like the very beautiful Asgard music. And it's like that was not worth the payoff at all. You wasted that music.
It was so wasted. And like all the writing that got put into this grand place, this beautiful building, this pyramid of awe striking, and then it's a gray fucking blob that looks. And again, I wanted to try to go back in time in my brain to like, what did it look like back then? Would that have been awe-inspiring?
I think the outside of the pyramid is more awe-inspiring than the room that we get to see inside the pyramid.
Yeah.
So I think that was a little on the side of, we only have the budget for this, so we need to describe it really well.
I guess.
Because we can't actually show that. They might have been running out of budget, which is why the CGI looks especially bad. We are on
the second to last episode of the season.
Yeah.
You know, that's fair. But it was like, then just don't do it. Then just keep it neutral. Just say this is a Mayan pyramid. It's interesting because it's actually not from a Gould. We don't know of other like situations that it would have been used. Like maybe find other ways. But this, like, to say it's this like large, grand, beautiful thing, and then you see it, and it's just. Anyway,
gray.
There is a really funny, I know we'll get to it too whenever we get to the actual episode Wormhole Extreme, but there's the really funny line talking about people being out of phase where they're like, so I can walk through walls and everything, right? And they're like, yeah. And she's like, well, why don't I fall through the floor? This is like your question about the gate and everything too.
Yeah.
And they just stand there and just don't mention it, but just because, which is exactly like that hanging the lantern on the problem, so that you go, I know it's there, but I don't have a solution for you. Yeah. Because this is television, and
yeah,
you know, if it would be pretty awkward if everybody just kept falling through the planet and then you know, like back up, you know, that would be bad.
They just have to make them with like little ghosty tails, or like they don't have legs and they just like float around like little ghosts and shit.
Yeah.
That would be more believable, but that would be too much CGI, probably.
Yep.
Way too much CGI. And also another thing about that is, so in many of the scenes, like Teal'c, you know, walked through Daniel or whatever, but the one scene where then they're leaving and Daniel's like laying there out of phase, Teal'c 100% steps over him. You see him see Daniel and step over him as he's running. And I'm like, it was just bad edit. I know it's probably low budget. It was just like those nuanced, really stupid things that were pissing me off this time. But mostly because it was making me nauseous trying to like see this scene stay stable.
Continuity was not that big of a deal back in the before times of the internet. No, I'm just saying like, yeah.
But
because now it will be picked apart nowadays. Like everything is picked apart and like scene by scene breakdowns happen. So. It was just a different time.
It was. And like, honestly, the fact that these are the things that were like, oh, I'm a bitch about this is honestly because it was just like, oh, what the hell is this episode? Like, there was nothing like majorly plot amazing about it. So we can complain about these things and move on.
Yeah.
It was not a spectacular episode. But, you know.
You know what? I still like it more than
Emancipation, 100 Days.
100 Days. Hey, there were 100 days.
At least I didn't make some cheesy soap opera music for this one.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What episode is next?
The season three finale, which means, guys, we're getting into the good shit very soon. Very soon. Yes.
Season four, baby.
That's where everything happens.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. I have nothing else for this one. It's just a continuation of the so.
Yeah.
I think I'll close it out because I actually have an idea for once.
Oh, sweet. Let me get the button ready to go. Cupid. Thanks everybody out there for being here live.
Thank you.
Live and in Technicolor.
Now that I think we'll try to get at least slightly more regular going now that the holidays are over. So
yeah, we're back on track.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's my spiel. That's all.
Ready?
Good spiel.
Yeah.
All right, Rothman. Come on, let's go start a click of our own. Let's leave these bitches in the dust. Bye. Close.